Hey there and welcome to Soul Church.
Our prayer is that this message encourages you wherever you may be in life.
You know, we've been hearing so many stories about what God is doing in people's lives, and we'd love to hear yours. So take a second and send your story to stories@soulchurch.com.
Thanks again for joining us today, and we hope that you enjoy the message. God bless.
Series All Things New. Have you been enjoying the 21-day daily readings guide? Okay, if you don't have a 21-day All Things New daily readings guide, they'll be available at the info desk afterwards. And we're encouraging people just to take some time out from some of the regular things that we would normally do. All right, so All Things New. God wants to do something brand new in your life in 2020. It is a new decade, it is a new year, and it's a new year. What are you all laughing at? 20. I've been in America too long. 2020, Norfolk. I'd encourage you also, during the messages this year, messages is take notes. Whether that's on your phone, on your tablet, piece of paper. Often what the speaker's saying might not be applicable to your life today, but in a month's time, in a year's time, you can think, oh, that could be really helpful. So we're a note-taking church. Okay, you kind of take in a lot more if you take notes. So I encourage you to pick up a notepad, a pen, and jot down some notes. Our series verse comes from Revelation 21, verse 5. He who's seated on the throne said, behold, I am making, let's say this aloud, all things new. All things. Father God, we pray as we dive into your word, we unpack this message this morning that you would speak to us, Father, highlight an area of our life that we can grow in, change in. Father God, we thank you that our desire this year is to become more like you. And if we become more like you, Father God, so much in our life is going to get better. So, Father, I pray that you would speak to us right now in these moments together. Amen. Amen. King Solomon lived around 1,000 years before Christ, so approximately 3,000 years from today. He was the son of King David. He wrote over 3,000 Proverbs, three Old Testament books, including Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, and Song of Solomon. And he also wrote 1,000 songs. He had a busy life. And God appears to Solomon right at the start of his kingship, just before he became the king of Israel. And God asked him a question. It comes in 2 Chronicles chapter 1, verse 7. And he says this, God appeared to Solomon and said to him, ask, what shall I give you? I wonder if God appeared to you right now in human form, and he said this, you can have whatever you like right now. You get one chance to respond. You don't get a chance to think about it. You get one chance to respond. I wonder what your response might be. Maybe it'd be to pay off your mortgage. Yeah? I think that's a pretty good response. Holiday to the Seychelles or Skegness. I don't know what your flavor is. Scrappy Sands, Soul Church sausage roll, ticket to watch Norwich, night out with your favorite mother-in-law or night off with your mother-in-law. I don't know. Let's see his response. This is what Solomon said to God in the question of you can have anything. He says this. He says, now give me wisdom and knowledge that I may go out and come in before the people. For who can judge that great people of yours? Then God said to Solomon, because this was in your heart, you have not asked for riches, wealth, honor, life, or of your enemies, nor have you asked for long life, but you have asked for wisdom and knowledge for yourself, that you may judge my people of over whom I have made you king. Wisdom and knowledge are granted to you. I will give you riches and wealth and honor, such as none of the kings who have ever had who before you, nor shall any after you have the like. Here's what the wisdom of Solomon teaches us today. Don't ask for something, ask for wisdom in everything. Don't ask for something, ask for wisdom in everything. Solomon goes on to say this in the message version of Proverbs chapter 4. He says, above all and before all, do this. Get wisdom. Get wisdom. He says, write this at the top of your list. I don't know about you, who wrote a list for the new year? I'm a bit old school, I still do New Year's resolutions. Who did some goal setting, some, come on, just give us a wave if you wrote down some things. A lot of you did. King Solomon says, hey, if you're going to write a list, you can get fit, you can get healthy, get a six pack, get a husband, get a new job. He said this, no, none of the below, get wisdom. Get wisdom. Get understanding. I love how the Message version says, throw your arms around her. Believe me, you won't regret it. Never let her go. She'll make your life glorious. Who wants your 2020 to be glorious? I wonder what your 2019, if you had to write a word, maybe it was struggle. Maybe it was challenging. Maybe it was hardship. Wonder if 2020, at the end, you could put a word next to 2020. Wouldn't it be amazing if we could write glorious? Glorious. You know, wisdom can do that in your life. Above everything and anything, King Solomon said, get wisdom. So what is wisdom? Good question. Wisdom is different from knowledge. Knowledge is what we know. Wisdom is what we do. Let me put it like this. I know that fast food is bad for me. I know it's full of saturates, it's full of salts, it's full of preservatives. I know that eating fast food, especially late at night, is bad for me. I have a head full of knowledge on nutrition. However, I still eat fast food. Oh, there it is. The golden arches. Wisdom is this. I do not pull in when I see the big yellow sign. Who knows that knowledge says that's bad for you, but wisdom says there is a choice. Knowledge says reading your Bible is going to help your life. It brings comfort. It brings strength. In fact, I've never picked up my Bible and not felt better afterwards. So the knowledge is this. Knowledge is I know the right thing to do, but wisdom is applying the right things. And we all know a lot of unwise people with a lot of head knowledge. You ever met an unwise person, but they've got tons of head knowledge? You know, we need both in life. We need wisdom and we need knowledge. You know, knowledge comes with age, maturity, and experience, but wisdom comes from God. I know a lot of young people. I'm going to embarrass him if he's here. Where's little Tom? Where's little Tom Mooney? Is he in here? He's around here somewhere. But little Tom, I went for a walk with him the other day. He's only 12 years old. He's one of the wisest little 12-year-olds I've ever met. He's telling me I need to do this and I need to do that and I don't need to go there and I need to come here. See, knowledge is about years and experience, maturity and education, but wisdom. When you've got wisdom, it can fast track you way beyond your years, way beyond where you're at in life. And so Solomon says, now give me wisdom and knowledge. We're not going to focus on knowledge today. We're going to focus on his first shout, wisdom. So what is wisdom? Wisdom is the ability to make the right choices at the right time. The ability to make the right, basically, it's common sense anointed. Problem with common sense is it's not that common. It's like the story of the three men flying in a small jet across the Pacific. There was a preacher, a backpacker, and one of the smartest men in the world. Halfway through the flight, the pilot unbuckled his seatbelt and burst into the cabin in a panic. I've lost control of the aircraft and it's going to crash. And there's only three parachutes and I'm taking one. He jumped out of the airplane, leaving the other three to choose who would receive the remaining two parachutes. The intelligent man argued, I'm a scientist. Knowledge. My scientific breakthroughs could save the lives of millions of people. It's in the best interest of humanity that I live. He grabbed a parachute and jumped. The preacher said, friend, I know God. I've lived a blessed life. I know that I'm going to meet my maker. Here, you take the final parachute. The backpacker said, don't worry, mate. The most intelligent man in the world just jumped out in my backpack. I I think just like the most intelligent man in the world, the most knowledgeable man in the world, I think we've all made some dumb choices in life. Investments we wish we hadn't have made. Relationships we wish we hadn't gone into. Cars we wish we hadn't bought. Contracts we wish we'd never signed. Phone calls we wish we'd never returned. I got a call this week. I thought, that's a strange number. I called it back. You know, sorry to say you've been in an accident, sir. And I've never been in an accident. But how could we be so dumb? Some decisions in life are so embarrassing. Let me share one. I could get you up here, but I'm not, okay? I've only been fired from one job. BP, the BP garage. And worked in the BP as a Bible school student. And we did night shifts. And we used to cook the pies and the sausage rolls at night. And if people came in for petrol, we'd clock off around about 7 o'clock in the morning. But between 6 and 7, it got really busy. And one morning, it got exceptionally busy, and the till stopped working. So the till just wouldn't stop, and tried to call the manager. He didn't pick up. And my friend and I from college, we were there, and we just didn't know what to do. I said, the best thing we can do before this problem gets any bigger is shut the garage down. So we got the big yellow signs. We just closed it down so people couldn't drive in. And then my friend says, well, what are we going to do with all the people in the queue? I said, tell them this one's on us. True story. So I made a public announcement. I said, hey, good morning, everyone. Unfortunately, the till's broken down. This one's on us. Sent them all home, happy. Or sent them to work, happy. Then I realized the only thing wrong with the till was the receipt had run out. And you could just, literally, there's a spare one there. You just swap it in, swap it out, and there's a clear note. I lost my job. Okay. Now, the reason I'm sharing, now don't look at me saying, how dumb is he? I can't believe. We've all made dumb choices. We've all made regrettable choices. We've all shut down the garage. We've all sent people home with a freebie. I don't think any of us plan to mess up our lives, but few of us plan not to. And nobody plans an addiction. Nobody is born and goes, I'm going to be addicted to heroin. I'm going to be addicted to nicotine. I'm going to be an addictive person. No one does that. Often, instead of making the right decisions, we spend our whole life trying to make our decisions right. And we make one poor choice, it has consequences for maybe a month, a year, 5 years. For some of us, it's for a lifetime. And the opposite to wisdom, the Bible says, is foolishness. So what is foolishness? Ultimate foolishness is to make anything the center of our lives instead of God. When we're self-centered, when we're pride-centered, when we're I-centered, anything that makes us center and kicks God out is foolishness. And I'm going to pitch a question to us today, and I'm probably going to say it 25 times because I want you to walk away from this service and for the rest of the year saying this one line. I always try and give you a takeaway to go away with, and this is the start of the year. And this takeaway, we're going to refer back to as the year goes on, but I want you to write this down. You can write it on your fridge. You can write it on your screensaver. Write it somewhere, but I want this to be the hallmark for your year. This is the question. Every single foolish choice I've made in life could have been avoided if I'd have asked this one question. This one question. Every time I'm faced with temptation, every time I'm faced with a choice, I'm not talking about do I wear red socks, blue socks, no socks today. I'm not talking about those choices. I'm talking about life choices. Do I get married to that person? Do I date that person? Do I start a relationship in business? Do I do that? Do I declare bankruptcy? Don't I declare bankruptcy? All these big decisions in life could have been avoided if we asked this one question. Are you ready for the question? The question is this. What is the wise thing to do? What is the wise thing to do? Now, here's the deal. The wise thing to do is often not what I feel like doing. It's also not what I want to do. It's also not what others think I should do. What is the wise thing to do? I want us to say this together. What is the wise thing to do? Out loud. Here we go. What is the wise thing to do? Every time In 2020, we are faced with a financial, a career, a relational, spiritual choice. We ask this question as we stand on the cusp of a decision. What is the wise thing to do? Don't ask, what would my dad do? Because your dad might not be wise. Don't even ask what John would do, because I might not make the right decision. What is the wise thing to do in this situation? As pastors, for Chantel and I, we hear heartbreaking stories. Yet every bad decision we've heard about could have been avoided by that one decision. What is the wise thing to do? What is the wise? Not what do my feelings. Let me tell you, your feelings will lie to you. Your feelings will leave you away from your marriage. Your feelings will lead you away from the right decisions in life. And so the title of this message is, what is the wise thing to do? Before I file for a divorce, before I sell my house, before I resign my job, before I invest my money, the question is this: what is the wise thing to do? Before I act, potentially make a regrettable decision that could affect the rest of my life, my children, my family, what is the wise thing to do? And here's the good news. The Bible gives us the answer. Gives us five answers. What is the wise thing to do? So before we make any decisions this year, I want us to look at it through the filter of these five answers, five verses from Scripture. Number one is this: we pray. We speak to God. James 1:5 says this: if any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God. It doesn't say ask Facebook. It doesn't say ask Siri. It doesn't say ask your spouse. It doesn't say ask. It says ask God. If any of you lacks wisdom, guess what? I'm one of the any. One of the many who gives generously. God is not lacking in wisdom without finding fault. Here's the good news. God will never find fault in you. He's not pointing the finger at your past mistakes and the choices that you made last year that didn't, maybe God's not looking at that. And he says, I'm going to give you wisdom for your everyday. You know, wisdom is like ketchup at McDonald's. It's free. He'll never charge you for it. Often we come to God with a list of requests and need. God, I need a new car. God, I need this. God, I need that. God, I need this. The first thing we do in prayer is we come into his presence with thanksgiving. But one of the things I do daily is say this. This is the prayer. God, give me wisdom. Not give me knowledge. God, give me wisdom. I need wisdom. We need wisdom as a church. This is a huge year for our church. This is critical. This is crucial for the future of the year. 2020 is massive for this church. We cannot afford to get this wrong. So guess what? Guess what we need? We don't need any more knowledge. We need God's wisdom. We need to know when to press the button or when not to press the button. We need to when to know move forward, when to stand still. We need wisdom. You need wisdom. And how do we get wisdom? We start by talking to God. Before you go into work and you've got that tricky meeting with your boss, and he's not treating people fair in the office, and he's unkind. You say, God, before I go in, and I go in with my feelings and my emotions, you say, God, give me wisdom. Help me to hold my tongue in that situation. And if I need to speak up, Lord, help me, give me the confidence. And if I need to speak up, I pray it comes out in the right tone and the right manner. That's wisdom. God, help me in that situation. God, I need your wisdom. And God hears from heaven. And I've sat in many meetings and I didn't know what to say. And just before it was my turn to speak, literally something drops in my thoughts. That is the Holy Spirit. He's saying, speak this. There's been times on the platform I haven't had the time to study as much. And suddenly the Holy Spirit takes over and he's filling me with wisdom. And I'm saying things I haven't rehearsed. I'm saying things I didn't even know I could say. What? It's the wisdom of God. And God wants to give you wisdom in 2020. What is the wise thing to do? Number one is we pray, we speak to God. Number two is this: we read and we let God speak to us. We let God speak to us. The New Testament experience, this is where God speaks to us through his word. Proverbs 2:6 says, for the Lord gives wisdom. From his mouth, knowledge and understanding. God's word is wisdom. This is a roadmap for life. The Bible is packed full of wisdom. The word gives, the Lord gives here is a Greek word and it means continuous. It's continuous. It's never ending. God cannot run out of wisdom. You can run out of battery in your phone, fuel in your car, but God cannot run out of wisdom for you in your life. There is no end to God's wisdom. And I do not know of a situation that you or I face today that there is not wisdom and guidance in this book for us to face, whether it's marriage, whether it's money, relationships, sex. Song of Solomon. King Solomon wrote a whole book on love. You should check it out. And if you don't have a Bible, don't leave here today without one because they're free. So if you don't have a compass for your life where God speaks to you, please come and speak to us and we'll make sure that we give you a Bible. We pray, we speak to God. We read, we let God speak to us. And number three is we listen and we let others speak to us. Proverbs 12:15 says, the way of a fool. What is a fool? A fool is self-centered, not God-centered. The way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but a wise man, a wise lady, listens to advice. It's amazing where we go to for help, is it? Hey? Our relationship falls down. Where do we go? To someone whose relationship's falling down. My business is in a mess, and I go to someone whose business is in a mess. But Solomon says this. He says, a wise man listens to advice. So what is godly counsel? Godly counsel. I think godly counsel is someone who has fruit growing from their lives in an area that you need it. So if you need advice on marriage, then you go to someone who's been married a distant a time and their marriage is in a healthy place. For Chantel and I, we've obviously been pastoring now for, I've been pastoring now for over 20 years. We've been married 14 years, but for the first 10 years of our marriage, we never counseled or gave any advice around marriage because I just didn't feel that was an area of my life that I could give counsel in because there was people in our church who'd been married 40, 50, 60 years, healthy in marriage. And I think the best thing to do is to point people who've done the distance, who've gone there. And I think in life, when it comes to godly counsel, there is so much wisdom in this room. Do you know how much wisdom in this room? We've got doctors, we've got teachers, we've got professors, we've got theologians. Brittany Sippling is a theologian. She's got a degree in theology. We've got lots of people with knowledge and wisdom in this room. You know what we need to do more is tap into each other. Tap into each other. Because a lot of the answers that we need in life would come if we listened. Nutritional advice. Go to someone who's healthy. If you want to be healthy, who's looking for a 2020 healthy? Yeah. Well, go find someone who looks healthy. He looks in a good place. And ask them, say, hey, can I talk to you? I want to take you out for lunch. You're taking me and I'm paying. Find out what they eat. Find out where they exercise. Find out what they do to stay healthy. Business advice. When it comes to my messages I produce on a Sunday, I speak to Steve. I was on the phone to him yesterday. I said, I've got this idea about wisdom. And here's the deal. I don't have it all together when it comes to preaching. Steve's a master. And I said, what do you think about this? And he sent me some ideas. He said, look at this, look at that. There's a guy in Australia called Robert Ferguson. And two, three times a year, I send my message to him. I send the notes and I said, would you give me some feedback? Can you help me? I want to get better as a communicator. I want to help our church more. Here's the deal. We've got to ask. We listen to other people. Look at your mobile. It will tell you who you're talking to. And who you're talking to is who you'll become. We cannot surround ourselves with blindness and expect to see. We've got to surround ourselves with people who love us, believe in the best in us, and will take us into a new realm in God. We pray, we read, we listen. Number four, and this is where I want to just take some time this morning, is we ask. This is where we speak to ourselves. This is a bit of a strange one, but I'm not talking about talking to yourself at the traffic lights when no one's in the car. I'm talking about before we make big decisions this year. And we'll all be faced, by the way, we'll all be faced with decisions. And some of the decisions we're going to be faced with this year, we don't know are coming. We don't know that they're coming because life throws curveballs. We've got to pause and we read, we pray and we listen. But this is really important. Number four is we speak to ourselves. Matthew 10:20 says this, "For it is not you who speak, but the Spirit of the Father who speaks in you." Now the Holy Spirit is prompting these questions as we face a life choice, a decision. And the Spirit of God wants to speak to you as you ask these three questions. Now, let me just, I've asked for the young people, young adults to stay in this session today because I really feel this is huge. I wish I would have heard these three questions when I was 14 because it would have saved me a lot of heartache. Okay, and these are three questions that we ask ourselves before we are faced with a decision. Number one is this: in light of my past, Father God, what is the wisest thing to do? In light of my past. George Santayana said this. He said, "Those who cannot remember the past are condemned to repeat it." If we don't pay attention to what got us into difficulty or trouble in 2019, we are liable to end up in the same situation in 2020. Think about relationships. People come and see Chantal and I after a failed relationship and they say, "Why does every relationship end in the same way?" And I said, simply this, because it starts the same way. It's conducted the same way. You can't expect it to change. And swapping partners will not give you a successful relationship. Let me put this really practically. I fancied myself as a tennis player 15 years ago. I was going to be Tim Hemman. I was going to change tennis forever. And I had an old tennis racket and I couldn't win a game, let alone a set or even a match. Just couldn't win. I thought I had a decent something, but. So I decided there was only one reason for my problems. The racket. The racket. It had to be the racket. So I went into Pilch. Remember Pilch's? Oh, yeah. Oh, the old boys. Yeah, I remember Pilch's. Yeah. Good old days in Norfolk, yeah. Went into Pilch's and bought myself a Wilson. I spent £100 on my Wilson. And I knew things were about to change on the court. I'll tell you what changed. Nothing. Bad relational habits are not corrected by new partners. Bad business habits are not corrected by starting a new business. The issue is not the business. The issue is not the racket. The issue is. And often in life, in light of my past and my circumstances, I've got to come and say, "Holy Spirit, because of my past, and because of the mistakes and the choices of my past, and I do not want to repeat them in my future, what is the wisest thing to do?" Because often in life, we just repeat history. We go from partner to partner, business to business, challenge to challenge, and everything is like, "I cannot believe that 2020 just feels like 2019. People say to me, like, this was on the other day, I said, "Oh, 2019 is like deja vu." Well, of course it is, because it's in us. Until we change, nothing around us will change. For the last 3 or 4 years, I've really struggled on a Monday. Monday is a really challenging day for me because I'm either thinking about everything that went well and I've got adrenaline, or I'm thinking about everything that didn't go well and I'm getting frustration. Okay, so Monday's a really challenging day. So don't text me. And so I decided after 4 years, I've got to make some changes because I don't want Mondays to be the ones of 19, 18, 17, 16, 15. I don't want that. I want my Mondays. My Mondays is a Sabbath. It's for my family, and I've defiled it too much. So I've got to make some really hard life-changing, defining choices because I don't want my past to define my future. And so I've decided how I eat on a Sunday night, how I spend time with my family, how I allocate my time. Everything's got to change. Now, I'm sharing that with you because there's areas of your life that keep repeating themselves, and you've got to be honest and say, actually, I've got to make some changes. And the Holy Spirit today is saying, in the light of my past and my experiences, what is the wise thing to do? So the wise thing for me to do on a Monday is switch my phone off. And if people want me, they can drive to my house. If they really need me. What is the wise thing to do? Oh, I'm feeling really unhealthy. Oh, grab a Big Mac. Holy Spirit, before I pull into the Golden Arches, in light of my past, what is the wise thing to do? What is the wise thing to do? Oh, I've just keep falling back into relationships and keep doing it and keep getting heartbroken. In light of your past relationships and hurt, what would be the wise thing to do? Maybe the wise thing to do would to be friends before you start a relationship. Maybe that would be the wise thing to do. Maybe the wise thing to do would not to fall in love online, but to fall in love face to face. Wow. Where you talk to each other. I know people who started dating online. I'm like, no. You don't know the person. You know their Twitter name. So that's the first question. The second question when it comes to asking is this. In light of my current circumstances, what is the wise thing to do? So in light of my past and in light of my current circumstances, you know, we've all got current circumstances. I don't know why, but sometimes I wake up happy and sometimes I don't. Who would agree? Sometimes there's no rhyme or reason why we wake up feeling like we do. Sometimes we wake up feeling tired. We've had just as much sleep as we had the night before, yet we wake up a bit grumpy, grouchy, and we just, that's just the way we are. And I've realized that today's concerns and tomorrow's concerns are often very different. And life is seasonal. Life is very seasonal. But I want to just be honest again, because I think honesty is really helpful for our church. And some of you are going to be able to just understand this. Most of my apologies in 2019 stem from my propensity to react in the moment. What do you think about that? Most of our apologies in 2019 come from a propensity to react in the moment. The moment. So this is where we go, Holy Spirit, in light of my current circumstances. Because when the moment passes, and every moment passes, every argument passes, every conflict, it will pass, things pass, every storm has an end. Whenever I've overreacted, someone has been hurt in the process. And it's often the people who are closest to us. Does anyone ever regret the heated convo from last year? Does anyone regret that email you sent? Anyone wish they'd waited 24 hours before they pressed send? Come on, let's just be honest. I wonder what crime rates would look like in the UK if offenders had asked themselves this question just before they acted. In the light of my current circumstances, Father God, what is the wisest thing to do? In the light of my current circumstances. As I stand at the window ready to go into the house and take the iPad that doesn't belong to me, in light of my current circumstances, what would be the wise thing to do? I wonder if we can continually ask ourselves these questions. In light of my past, in light of my current circumstances, what is the wisest thing to do? And when I'm mad, and when you're mad, I've learned the wisest thing to do. You ready? Nothing. The wisest thing to do when we're emotionally upset, sad, unhappy, the wisest thing to do is literally nothing. Remove ourselves from the situation. And as David said in Psalm 46, verse 10, again, the Bible has the answers to all of our challenges. Be still and know that He is God. In other words, be still and know that He is right in the middle and He can handle the situation because He is our Father. In the light of my past, in the light of my current circumstances, and number three is the team come up, in the light of my future hopes and dreams, Father God, what is the wise thing to do? I don't know about you, but I've got a dream for my future. I hope you have a dream for your future. I hope you've got a mental image of what your future could look like. You're never too old to dream. You're never too young to dream. And if I could say, hey, I wonder what your 2030 would look like. In 10 years from now, I wonder if you wrote a letter to yourself in this service and said, this is what I want the next 10 years of my life. I want them to be glorious, as Solomon said. But the reality is, I don't want to be doom and gloom, but the reality is that so many of our hopes and dreams never come true. And some of them is because life takes twists and turns and bumps and disrupts our plans, but more often than not, it's our own doing. It's our own decisions. Too much debt, too much alcohol, too many nights out, too many missed lectures, too many Kit Kats. So what's the answer? Well, the answer is this. Before I make a decision, I stop and I pause. And I say, in the light of my past, my traits, my patterns, in the light of my current circumstances, and in the light of my future hopes and dreams, Holy Spirit, what is the wise thing to do right now? You see, we make decisions often based on current circumstances and how we're feeling. We've got to make decisions based on 10 years from now. You know, short of winning the lottery, our financial future is determined by our financial decisions today. That's exactly where we'll be. The health of my marriage tomorrow will be determined by the decisions I make today. You don't lose a marriage overnight. You lose it by daily decisions. So I encourage you to ask the Holy Spirit, even now, Holy Spirit, in light of my future hopes and dreams, what are you saying to me today? Maybe it's to set up a savings account. Maybe it's to go online and set yourself up a savings account and go, come on, in light of my future hopes and dreams, I'm going to place £10 a month in a savings account because it can help me. My dream of one day having my own business or one day going on a dream holiday, it could help me take that decision. Maybe create a regular date night with your spouse. For Chantel and I, we let this slip badly in 2019. We went away and we said, hey, this is an area of our lives we need to get good at again. You don't stop dating when you get married. You start dating. Fall in love again with your spouse. Fall in love again. You'll only fall in love when you're with each other. And you begin to love each other again and treasure one another. Before you go to sleep each night, the last words that we say to one another is this, I love you. Let me tell you, sometimes if we've had a bumpy day, that's difficult. And sometimes it's like, I love you. And sometimes it's a lot more tender, but that's for the later series in the year. But here's the deal, we say it because we do not allow our feelings to dictate our decisions. Because in 10 years' time, I want to be standing here, not as a statistic of pastors who have fallen. I want to be standing here still healthy and flourishing and married. So in the light of my past, in the light of my current circumstances, and in light of my future hopes and dreams, I say, Holy Spirit, what is the wisest thing to do? What is the wisest thing to be looking at on the internet? What is the wisest thing? Sign up for the stewardship class this Tuesday. You're saying, oh, I'm just believing I'm going to win the lottery this year and all my financial hopes and dreams are going to be secure. It's never going to happen. And if it does, give it to the church. I'll tell you how our finances are going to change when we steward what God's given us. And when we steward what God's given us, well, guess what? He'll give us more. And so I want to encourage you to sign up. The stewardship class starts this Tuesday. Sign up at the information desk. This is a great way to say, in light of my past, in light of my current circumstances, in light of my future, what is the wisest thing to do? The wisest thing to do is to get educated on money. And it's free. How good is that? The three questions. Number five, the fifth and final thing. We pray, we read, we listen, we ask. Five is we watch. We watch. I call this one godly glancing. Godly glancing. I love watching people. One of the favorite things in the world I love to do is to sit there with a cup of green tea at an airport and watch people. And just imagine their story. The man with the suit, I imagine he's a CEO of a, just watch people. I love to watch people. I love to people watch. And there's three ways we can learn in life. You can learn by your own mistakes, you can learn by other people's mistakes, or third way to learn is never at all. Your hardest way is your own mistakes. Wisdom comes with winters. Often it's the winters of our lives that create wisdom. We learn the hard way, but we learn. Some of you lost money in an investment. Here's the good thing, you'll never do it again. If it's too good to be true, guess what? Probably is. Your own mistakes, other people's mistakes. By the way, this is the cheapest way to learn, is watching other people. We don't have a perfect marriage, but we have a happy marriage. The first year of our marriage, we spent every Tuesday night around Steve and Rachel's house getting help. And we watched them as they conducted their marriage. We still watch their marriage. We watch people like Alan and Anne and people who have been married, many, Richard and Lynn Nash. We just watch you. We're watching you all the time. We're watching you because you give us hope. We're watching you constantly. We're watching. I encourage you, watch people. Watch people. Watch their mistakes. Watch the things they do well and learn from them. Why can't 2020 look completely different from 2019? Here's the deal. That's what I'm going to finish with is this. My most foolish mistakes have come when I haven't prayed, I haven't read, I haven't listened, I haven't asked, and I haven't watched. Father God, what is the wisest thing to do? Before I act, before I press send, before I start the meeting, what is the wisest thing to do? I encourage you, write that down. Take a shot of it. Put it on your fridge. Put it in your Bible. Put it somewhere where you can see it. But before you make decisions this year, pray, read, listen, ask, watch. And when you tick the boxes, you'll have such a peace. You'll have know exactly what to do. These are filters to make wise decisions in 2020. I'm going to finish with this one verse, Proverbs 1:23. Don't you know that I'm ready to pour out my wisdom on you? God wants to fill you with his wisdom. He wants to bring you revelation of his word. He wants to make your heart wise. He wants to make your family healthy, your marriage healthy. He wants to bless you exceedingly and abundantly and above anything you can imagine. But it begins with wisdom. Would you stand to your feet? I've gone over time. I'm getting excited. I've got to go again in 45 minutes, so I want to pray for you. I'm going to pray right now. If you're saying, John, I'm here today, and I need wisdom. I need wisdom in a choice, a business decision. I need wisdom, my career choice. I'm planning to move cities, move counties. I want to move abroad. I don't want to move abroad. There's confusion. And you're saying today, God, I need you to come and fill me with wisdom. I don't want to act on my feelings. I don't want to act on what anyone else's opinion is of me. I want to act in your wisdom. I want you to lift up your hand right now. The Holy Spirit wants to wash over this meeting with wisdom. That's it. God's going to give you wisdom right now. 2020 does not have to look like a repeat of 2019. Father, we come to you right now. We thank you, as James said, that you don't give wisdom stingily, you give it generously. And Father, I pray that this year we would make wise choices. Father, we would not be led by our feelings. We would not be led by our addictions. We would not be led by our habits. We would be not led by our past, our current circumstances. Father God, we would be led by your Spirit. And in the light of this Holy Spirit, Father God, we say this: what is the wise thing to do? I pray, Lord, that we would put that all over our Bibles, over our fridges, over our in picture frames, wherever it is, Father. It will be a constant reminder that what is the wisest thing to do before we step into the boardroom, before we have the conversation, before we go into an emotional decision. We would ask you, Holy Spirit, that you would lead us in what is the wise thing to do. And we would pray, and we would read your word, and we would listen to godly advice, and we would ask ourselves these probing questions, and we would godly glance over at others, and we would come to the right decision in the power of the name of Jesus. We thank you, we give you praise, and we worship you. Amen. Come on, let's just worship God. Amen. Hallelujah.
Wow. How good is it to have our senior pastors back, leading worship incredibly, preaching phenomenally. Come on, let's really honor them. Thank God for them, for that word. Absolutely packed full of things that are going to help you have a great 2020. I love that concept about what is the wisest thing. You know, friend, maybe you're new to church, maybe you came at the wonder and you're still working things out. Let me give you what I think is the wisest decision you can ever make, is to put Christ at the center of your life. I did that as a 13-year-old. I will never regret it. My life is going one direction, but thank God for that moment. How many of you out there have made that decision and you're glad that you put Christ? Come on, give me a wave. If you've already, look at that. These are people who will tell you it is the wisest decision you can. Maybe you're here and you've never made that decision. Or maybe you're here and there was a time in your life when you're walking with him, you had relationship, but if you're really honest, you've kind of drifted away. And you need to surrender again and say, Jesus, would you be center? Would you be number one? Friend, we'd love to give you that opportunity to pray for you. We're not going to embarrass you. We're not going to call you out. But together, we're all going to pray a prayer to say, Jesus, would you be central? Friend, this may be your first time. I'd encourage you, take that step. Or maybe you're coming home. So in every section, from the front to the back, let's bow our heads, close our eyes. This is between you and God, friend. Those of you watching online, if you want to get right with God, then when I count to three, here's what I want you to do in the room. If you want to be included in this prayer, when I count to three, just lift up your hand, just so I know who we're praying with, and we're going to congratulate you and cheer you on. So all across this room, if that's you, say, Steve, would you pray for me? Are you ready? 1, 2, 3. That's it. Just lift up your hand. Thank you. Thank you back there. Come on, let's congratulate those people and those online. Now we're all going to pray this prayer together. Repeat after me. Dear Jesus, I know I need you. I can't do it without you. Would you come in and be the center of my heart and life? I know that I've sinned, that I need your help. Would you be my Lord? And I'll live for you with your help and strength from this moment forward. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Come on, church. Let's congratulate those people. I love that. I saw hands, but I also know that God saw hearts, because some of you maybe didn't have the confidence to raise your hand, but you did pray in your heart. And so as you leave the building, our team, they've given up their time because they want to meet you. They want to give you this. There's plenty of them. We call it the wisdom book. This is going to help you. And I'd encourage you to do two things if you just prayed that prayer. Number one is come back to church. And you can come back tonight at 5 p.m. or come back next week. And the other thing is to start to download this wisdom into your heart, into your life. It will really, really help you. Come on, one more time. Let's congratulate. And anybody listening in or watching online, that's a great, great decision.
Thanks again for tuning in. And if you said the salvation prayer today, we'd love for you to email connecttofaith@soulchurch.com so we can talk to you a little bit more about this incredible decision that you've just made.
Yeah, you know, and if at any point in the service you felt moved to give towards any of our local or global initiatives, then head to soulchurch.com and click on the giving at the top of the page.
Thanks again for joining us today, and we hope to see you again soon. God bless.